Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
And as we've been hearing, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said May 2020 is the right time for a general election. He was speaking at the Fine Gael Think-In in Cork, where the party is gathering to discuss priorities and future plans. And from there now, Minister for Housing, Planning and Local Government Eoghan Murphy joins me. Good evening, Minister.
Hello.
The starting gun is fired. Taoiseach saying, I believe we can win the election. He's sure of it, even though it may not become apparent, he says, until the last week or 10 days of the election campaign. Winning for him means he will be Taoiseach again. But what does winning mean for Fine Gael from where you are right now to where you want to be come May of next year?
Well, I think the most important thing about what the Taoiseach said today about saying that the election shouldn't happen before May of next year is trying to provide stability in Irish politics through a very challenging time that is Brexit, of course, but obviously the very real risk of a no-deal Brexit on the 31st of October. I think that Fianna Fáil have been reckless trying to dangle the threat of an election over our heads at this very serious time for the country. And what Leo Varadkar is trying to do is to say that, look, we need to have stability in our politics here through these coming months, so we don't need to have an election before May of next year, which is something he actually tried to agree with Micheál Martin almost a year ago.
Campaigning has started, Minister.
No, the focus is on government. This is about having stability so government can continue the important work that it's doing, not just in relation to Brexit, but in the progress that we're continuing to make in areas like my own in relation to housing, but also in health and education and all the other things that we still need to do as a government. That's where our focus is. And if we can agree a May election date of next year, we can continue to have that focus. It's difficult, though, when our confidence and supply partners in Fianna Fáil continue with their attitude of threatening an election at any potential moment once the fog of Brexit may or may not lift.
And you're road testing the slogans already. I heard a couple of your ministers with Fergal Keane, putting the country first. Honesty. But where is the honesty? I mean, you promised tax cuts, now no tax cuts, and I could go into other areas as well.
Well, I think it's quite clear in our approach to Brexit. Again, this great challenge that's facing our country, we have put the country first. And in putting the country first, we've managed to, so far, protect ourselves in terms of these very difficult negotiations. And our EU partners now have the Irish interests, our national interests, at the centre of their interests, which is very important. And we've also been very transparent with the public about the risks that we now face coming into this difficult period. And of course, we have ambitions for the country when it comes to things like tax cuts. And there will be a modest package coming in the coming budget, but we have to be prudent as well. We won't be reckless like other parties have been in the past. I mean, you can imagine how, again, a party like Fianna Fáil might treat a budget this close to a general election, how reckless they would be with the public finances. We won't do that. We'll be responsible. And if that means changing some of our intended plans, then we will do that and we'll tell the public about it.
I find it interesting that it's Fianna Fáil. In each response you've given me so far, you pivot to Fianna Fáil, not to Sinn Féin. So is this what the focus groups are telling you at this stage? Is this what the internal polling is telling you, that the fear is Fianna Fáil?
I haven't seen any work from focus groups or anything like that. It's from my own observations in Dáil Éireann. Sinn Féin have no appetite for government. They ran away from the talks in 2016. They continue to be hurlers on the ditch, criticising from the opposition benches, not bringing forward potential solutions. They wouldn't support the government on key issues. And they've taken a similar approach in other jurisdictions as well.
What will this country look like, in your view, when you're in government, in May of next year?
Well, in May of next year, I mean, a lot of this will depend on exactly what happens in relation to Brexit and what kind of Brexit we see. If we are able to manage Brexit, if we're able to come to an agreement, which we hope we can, and I think given the interaction that the Taoiseach had with the Prime Minister earlier in the week, I think there's more potential there. We're going to see things like further improvements in the number of new homes being built. 25,000 new homes will be delivered this year, which I think is very, very significant. 10,000 new social housing homes. We're going to see continued investments in education and in healthcare. Even though we know we face potentially very challenging times, we will still be increasing the amount of money spent next year by about 2.8 billion to look after things like pay in the public sector and to look after things like education, as I said, and the responsibilities that I have in housing. So we will continue to invest responsibly with taxpayers' money to make those improvements that we need to make in Irish society as we continue to grow and progress as a country.
The message that you're putting out, I suppose, it is about honesty, this putting the country first. And the economy is in good health. We have unemployment at a 10-year low. But you mentioned homelessness. There is little progress on homelessness. We had 7,400 people homeless when you became minister in that area back, in June 2017. Now there's 10,275 people homeless. What will we have by June of next year or by May of next year?
Well, Mary, honesty is important, and we have always been honest about the challenge that we face in housing. Rebuilding a housing sector in its entirety, but not like it was before, like how it was broken, but like so it won't break again, a sustainable housing sector. And we'll be responsible as well with the public finances. And that means responsibly bringing about those improvements to housing, so social, affordable housing and private housing as well. And what we've seen in emergency accommodation, very regrettably, in the last 2 years, we have seen it increase from, you know, around between 7,000 and 8,000 people to just over 10,000 people. But had we not put in the supports that we've put in over the last 2.5 years, that number would be much, much higher. Last year alone, 27,000 households were supported. This year, 27,000 more new households will be supported. So because we are building more homes, because we are responsibly putting money into housing, like it was never put in before in the history of the state, we're keeping people out of homelessness. And so today, when two families will present in Dublin as homeless, we'll get a home for one immediately so they don't have to go into emergency accommodation. Now that we're stabilising that situation, we need to drive those numbers down. We need to get people out of emergency accommodation, and building new homes is a solution to that.
Yeah, but you're talking about honesty. We have homeless figures now over 10,000, 6 months in a row. That figure is there. Is that stability? That's 10,000 people. And, you know, to keep that theme going,
Mary,
there were promises made. Yes?
Well, just to be clear on this, yes, in the first 6 months of this year, roughly about 1,000 new families became homeless. And yet the number of families in emergency accommodation tonight is less than this time last year.
But
and that speaks
stability?
To the great work that NGOs are doing. Because we're managing to get homes for people like we hadn't before.
But are these broken promises, Minister? We were promised nobody would be in a hotel. We were promised, you know, and just to veer off your own brief, we were promised in health, we were promised a totally changed health system by the first Fine Gael government. That didn't happen. We were promised a children's hospital. That hasn't happened. And we were promised, and rural Ireland was promised, broadband, not once, not twice. It was promised 3 times, and it's being promised it again now. These are broken promises.
These are not broken promises. What we are doing is we are making sure that we can get cross-party agreement. We are a minority government when it comes to healthcare, and we have that now with Sláinte Care, and that's the programme that we're going to follow through. We want a state-of-the-art children's hospital for everyone in this country, and that, unfortunately, is proving to be very, very expensive, but it's something that we have to do, and we are prudently managing the economy so we can get that hospital built. And when it comes to broadband, we are the party that wants to bring broadband to every home in this country, to give every single child the same opportunity when it comes to their future and their digital future, and not have it dependent on your postcode. And that's the commitment that we're making. And of course, these big projects can be challenging, but we won't abandon them. We'll make sure they're managed appropriately and that we're spending taxpayers' money prudently as well.
But timelines have been broken time and again. I mean, it sounds like you're saying we promise to deliver, but not just yet. We promise to get there, but not in the timelines we promised you. You know, we're going to get to May of 2020, a general election, and we'll still be promised rural broadband. We'll still be promised a children's hospital. We'll still be promised a reduction in the homeless numbers, and we still will not be there.
Mary, most projects that we do, the most large capital projects, actually do come in on time. But sometimes we face challenges when it comes to doing things like that have never been done before, like giving broadband to every home in the country. Things can be more challenging. But the important thing is that we are committed to doing it and that we see it through. And no one else has come forward with a solution that would actually allow us to do this any more cheaply or any more quickly. In fact, what people like Fianna Fáil are saying is to actually postpone the project or bring in more consultants or waste time looking at proposals that we know won't work.
They would say, get it right.
Committed to bringing broadband. We're committed to bringing broadband to rural Ireland. And that's where our focus is when it comes to that part of what the government is trying to do. And in my own brief, we're committed to building more homes. 1 in 4 of every home built last year was for social housing. I heard one of the commentators you had on earlier speaking to this.
And I will be coming back to it again, actually, just in a moment. And this is the O'Devany Gardens development. Let's go there now. An affordable home in O'Devany Gardens. 42,000 in savings, an income of over 100,000 for an individual or a couple. Does that sound affordable to you?
Well, no, but from the figures that I've seen with O'Devany Gardens, and it's very important when we look at O'Devany Gardens, what we're doing, a very large piece of public land in a very attractive location where people can live, and we're bringing forward homes for both public and private. So social and affordable housing will be 50% of the site and 50% private as well. And when we look at affordability, we have to make sure that if we bring about affordable housing, that it's actually homes that people can afford. So a young couple, for example, people on the average industrial wage, being able to pool their salaries and buy their first starter home. And in Ottavney Gardens, there will be homes available at that price point. In other parts of Dublin City, there'll be homes for about €200,000 because of the new schemes that we've brought in. That is very affordable. And this week, we launched the first cost rental site out in Stepaside.
Which a lot of people would say maybe this is what should be happening. Well, this is what should be happening in Ottavney Gardens. But didn't Bartra, the developer in Ottavney Gardens, they get this land in Dublin 7 in the middle of the city free?
The important thing when we have these public-private partnerships and the land that's being developed is that we get actual homes built, and the people who are building those homes for us get some return so they can come and actually do that work for us.
But they get the land free, and you're describing 30%, I think, of the homes that'll be built there.
But we get the homes. We get the homes, which 30, is important.
30% of the homes are being described as affordable homes. Now, I understood affordable homes to mean people who were outside of the social housing scheme, who would not qualify on means testing for social housing, and who didn't have enough money and enough income to go to their bank to be able to get a mortgage, that they could come in under this affordable housing category. Instead of that, we're being told that in Ottavney Gardens, you would have to be in the top 15%, the top earners, to afford a home there.
But that's not correct.
Is it not?
You were told that by your previous commentator, and it's not correct, because when we talk about affordability, we're talking about one-third of a person's income. Yes, it won't be people who qualify for social housing,
but it will be
people on the average industrial wage.
Who will it be then? Are you telling me that somebody on the average industrial wage of 38,000-40,000 will be able to afford a home in Ottavney Gardens?
Yes. If you look at the numbers there, at the price points of some of the houses coming online and what two people earning the average industrial wage, earn, and the money that they'll have for a deposit in terms of 10%. But we shouldn't look at any one thing in isolation. We have a number of affordability schemes.
I know, but the deposit,
11,000 people. Yes, and Help to Buy has 11,000
could be up to 40,000.
No, but the Help to Buy scheme is helping people bridge that gap. And the Rebuilding Ireland home loan is helping people get affordable mortgages. And now, by using public land, we're bringing forward affordable housing. And in other parts of the country, because we've put already 150 million behind this, people will be able to buy houses at a very large discount because they're going into cooperative housing with the local authority. We know these programs work in other countries. We are now rolling them out here. And we can do that because of the investments that we've made sustainably in the Rebuilding Ireland programme, because we are now building more homes. It's not just about building more homes, but what kind of homes are we building? Are we building affordable homes? Are we building cost rental homes? Are we building homes for the elderly? Are we building homes for students? It's not a zero-sum game in housing.
And are we building
home
homes?
That we build takes pressure off other parts of the area or other pressure points in the sector.
And are we building homes that are sustainable, that are homes that meet regulations? Because we're hearing, and you know the stories as well as I do, we covered it in relation to BlackRock recently, homes that the owners are finding 5, 10, 12 years in, the balconies are rotting, balconies are falling, they need to spend 10,000, 20,000, 25,000 on upgrades. Now there's a bill that Ón Obrin of Sinn Féin put forward to provide a redress to apartment owners who then discover that there are fire safety issues, they're facing huge bills. Would you support that bill?
Everywhere I turn, I'm dealing with the reckless legacy of Fianna Fáil. And we see that very acutely in people who have homes that they bought, which now have these significant defects. And it's very, very difficult for them. I have a responsibility to every taxpayer in this country. And I have to be careful not to take on a liability for every private property in this country that every then taxpayer would have to meet. We have changed the regulations and standards around building considerably over the last number of years.
And for those who find themselves
and inspections regimes
in substandard apartments, is there help coming from you?
But because we have those standards now, you now have an insurance market for latent defects.
But I've heard it could be as many as 70,000 apartment owners with difficulty. Is there help?
We also have further changes coming in relation to near zero energy buildings and the best possible quality and standards.
Will you do anything for those, like the people in BlackRock, the people in other parts of Dublin and around the country, who need help to put their apartments in order?
We are moving to further strengthen the regulations that we have around the construction.
Is there any money coming to them?
A
redress of any sort?
As I said earlier, I have to be responsible to every taxpayer here. I have to be careful not to bring on a liability for every single private party, but property in this country onto every single taxpayer.
How many seats?
I have to be careful in that regard. So we are looking at this carefully, bearing that in mind.
Back to your May election next year, how many seats does Fine Gael anticipate winning?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, my focus is on the work that I have to do in government. Fine Gael is the largest party. We want to continue as the largest party after the next general election. And one of the great things about the thinking that we have today is that a lot of really great candidates from all over the country are here meeting with ministers, meeting with the Taoiseach, and talking about what they want to see Fine Gael doing in a future government when that election comes in May of next year.
Would you hope for more than 50 seats?
We are going out to win the next election. We believe that we've got a very strong record in government and Leo Varadkar, not just in prudently managing the economy, not just in facing up to Brexit in a very, very responsible way for the entire country, but also the great social progress that we've seen. Of course, there are still challenges.
You're not going to tell me your anticipated seats.
And there are more work that we have to do there. I'm not going to tell you that, Mary.
All right. Minister for Housing, Eoghan Murphy, thank you for your time this evening.